Who knows, these are the days that God's promised to pour out the former and the latter rain together. And we were singing that a few minutes ago, weren't we? Let it rain, let it rain, let it rain. But do you think maybe we've got our waterproofs on? Do you think maybe we've got our umbrellas up? Or maybe it's time that we need to take our umbrellas down and take our waterproofs off and not afraid to get wet. Because most people complain about the rain, don't they? Because they complain about the rain, they miss the blessing of the rain. Because everything you complain about, you miss the blessing of it. You see a lot of people, when it starts to rain, they run for cover. You know that happens in the church? This is not my message tonight, by the way, this is my introduction. But you know that happens in the church, that when it starts to rain, a lot of the people run for cover. And they stick up their umbrellas, if they've got one. And if they don't, they just run and find a hiding place somewhere. Because they don't like getting wet. So maybe it's time we took off our waterproofs in the church. And took down our umbrellas. And just said, let it rain. Let it rain. Let it rain. You know, there's been places in different places in the church where they've got so into the rain that they've actually had physical rain inside their building. And they didn't put up their umbrellas. And they didn't run to find their waterproofs. They just got wet. Soaking wet. Who knows, people don't like sitting beside somebody that's wet. Come on. Who knows, when your dog's been in the sea, you don't want to get too close. Come on. When somebody wet gets on the bus and wants to sit beside you, you're like, oh, you're trying to get out the window, you're right up against the wall because you don't want what's on them to get on you. So I think sometimes before we sing songs like Let It Rain, we need to understand what rain is and what rain does. Sometimes rain can make you feel uncomfortable. Sitting in wet clothes can be very uncomfortable. So sometimes when the rain comes, it will make you feel a little uncomfortable. But who knows, summer rain is just refreshing, isn't it? You know what I mean? In the winter it can be kind of cold and it can get right through to your bones, but in the summer it's like rain can be just so refreshing and you just say, oh, let it rain. Anyway, let's move on to the message. Today I want to speak about God's insecurity. God's insecurity. Now, before you shoot me down as a heretic, I'm not suggesting that God has a problem with insecurity, but he knows that we do. Anyone ever struggled with insecurity? I know I have. I know I still do. Anyone still struggling with it? Anyone else still struggling with it tonight? Well, I want to encourage us tonight with this word, because help has been provided. Help has been provided. But maybe it'll come in the rain. And maybe as the rain comes, it'll make you feel a little bit uncomfortable for a while. But you know, after you've sat in your wet clothes for a while, you don't really feel uncomfortable anymore. You just get into it. It doesn't really matter anymore. See, insecurity can manifest as a lack of confidence, as self-doubt, as unassertiveness, as timidity, as uncertainty, as nervousness, as anxiety. And who knows that insecurity has a first cousin called inferiority? Probably closer to a twin, actually. And together, they can create an inferiority complex. Apparently, an inferiority complex is a feeling of intense insecurity, inferiority, and of not measuring up. And although the inferiority complex may be seen as comparing individuals or groups as one being superior to another, like so-and-so is much better at that than me. Come on, who's ever thought that? It actually more closely describes how one deals with a fear of failure. That's why inferiority is in fear. It manifests when you're in fear. In fear, priority. In Judges chapter 6, verse 15, it says, "But Lord," Gideon replied, "how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family." Who knows, that's insecurity and inferiority talking. Come on. How can I rescue? But Lord, I mean, he's speaking back to the Lord. The Lord's told him what his plan is for his life. And he's saying, "But Lord," Gideon replied, "how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family." That's nothing more than the twins of insecurity and inferiority talking. In verse 16, it says, "The Lord said to him," the Lord replies and says to him, "I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man." See, this is God's insecurity. It's not trusting in ourselves or any security that we can provide to protect ourselves, but trusting in the Lord and the security he provides. What are we talking about tonight? God's insecurity. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, in the New Living Translation, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your hearts. Do not depend on your own understanding." Don't depend on how you see things or perceive things. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Who knows, if anyone should have been insecure or suffered from inferiority, it should have been Jesus. Come on, he was rejected. He was treated with contempt. He was falsely accused. He had his background questioned. Even his name, Jesus of Nazareth. Come on, one fellow said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Come on, even his very name. If anyone should have felt insecure and inferior, it should have been Jesus. Even now, God could be insecure with all the people rejecting him, all the people falling asleep when they're listening to his word, all the people having a toilet break while he's speaking. Come on, all the people who can't sit still, they have to go in and out, in and out. Come on. If God was insecure, I'll tell you. But Jesus was completely secure in his identity. He was trusting in God's insecurity guarantee. Psalm 91. We're going to go through Psalm 91 today, because this is the guarantee of God's insecurity. What are we talking about tonight? God's insecurity. So verse 1 of Psalm 91 says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." See, that's where Jesus lived. He lived there. And now he has become the secret place of the Most High for us. Amen? So Jesus has become the secret place of the Most High for us. Who knows? Jesus was God's secret weapon to redeem us from the enemy and from every manifestation of the curse, including the terrible twins of insecurity and inferiority. Because they're a manifestation of the curse. You weren't created to feel insecure. Before God made man, and then man's helpmate, he created a place of security for them. Amen. A place where they were the kings, with a little k in that place. No room for insecurity or inferiority there. So these insecurity and inferiority are a manifestation of the curse. Psalm 110 verse 1, it says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." Who knows? Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father under the shadow of the Almighty. And guess what, folks? So are we. If you're born again tonight, that's where you live. That's your address. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 7. "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been." Say, "I have been." Say, "I have been saved." "And he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in," say in "Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches," here we are in the ages that have come, "showing forth the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in," say in "Christ Jesus." Because we are in Christ Jesus. That's what the scripture tells us. That's the reality. That's the truth. In verse 2 of Psalm 91, it says, "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him. Say, in him. In him I will trust. You see, we are not just trusting in him. Religion can say that. We are in him trusting. There's a big difference. You get the big difference? We're not just trusting in him. We are in him trusting. That is the place of God's in security. You getting the message there? You're releasing me from the charge of a heretic. He's not thinking I'm blaspheming anymore, amen. Hallelujah. See, the awesome reality of the new covenant is that we are in him where he is, and he is in us where we are. We are in him where he is, and he is in us where we are. Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 to 27. If you want to turn there a minute. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Hallelujah. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed. Say, now has been revealed. It now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We are in him where he is, and he is in us where we are. That's about as tight a package as you'll get, amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are in him and he is in us. That's our guarantee of protection and of provision, of God's in security. See, God's insecurity cancels out our insecurity. Amen? God's insecurity cancels out our insecurity. Verse 3, Psalm 91. Let me get back there. Hang on. Hallelujah. Psalm 91 and verse 3. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare. A snare is a thing that is likely to lure or tempt someone into harm or error. So he will deliver you from the things that are likely to lure or tempt you into harm or error. The snare of the fowler. A fowler is a hunter or a trapper. He will deliver you from the hunter, from the trapper, the one who's setting traps for you, the one who's hunting you to take your life. It says from the perilous pestilence. Pestilence is a fatal epidemic disease. Who knows, the world is suffering under a fatal epidemic disease called sin and all of its ugly manifestations. So I want to tell you, if you don't allow God's insecurity to deal with your insecurity, you will resort to sin security. You'll always have to sin to try and build a wall around your own life that you were never supposed to build. You'll always fall short of God's glory, the revelation of his will and his purpose, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. But if you miss this message, if you miss the substance of this message, if you miss the experience of this message in your life, you will have to resort to sin security, sin which always causes you to fall short of the glory of God, of God's plan, of God's purpose, of God's goodness, of God's faithfulness. This guarantee of insecurity. See, we're saved, healed, and delivered because we are in him, and he is in us. Because where he is, salvation is. Where he is, healing is. Where he is, deliverance is. Where he is, prosperity is. Verse 4, Psalm 91. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Now, a buckler was a small, round shield. It was smaller than the regular shield. It was a small round shield. See, who knows? God's not just interested in the big stuff. He also has all of the small things covered as well. So we mustn't just focus on the big stuff. We need to have faith for the small stuff. I see people. What's the matter with you? I've got a bad cold. But this is what you think. You think it's only a cold, it'll pass. Come on. You know that he's got the small stuff covered as well? Before that sniffle becomes anything more than troubles you, that troubles you more than for a few minutes, you need to deal with it then. When the first sneeze, sometimes you sneeze because of other things, there's a bit of dust or something like that, but sometimes you know you're starting to sneeze because a cold's trying to get onto you. You say, but that's just the small stuff. I'll start believing for healing when I get cancer. No, he's given you a shield and a buckler. He's given you a shield for the big stuff, and he's also given you a shield for the small stuff. Amen. You need to use it. Hallelujah. It's a shield of faith. It takes God at his word. It says, I'm in him, he's in me. The healer's in me, and I'm in the healer. Man, come on. Where he is, prosperity is. Come on. See, if you're not believing him for the small stuff, you'll never have faith to believe him for the big stuff. You know what I'm talking about? He's like, I'll have to trust God for the big stuff. No, if you're not trusting him for the small stuff, you'll never get to the place where you'll trust him for the big stuff. Verse 5, the first part of verse 5 says, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night. Anybody recognize the terror by night? Come on. The enemy comes in the night. Why? Because there's something about the dark that increases the fear factor. Who knows, the night can be a long night. The night takes a lot longer to pass than the day, although it's the same amount of time. Who knows that? If you're awake at night and the terror of by night is coming against you, that's a long night. Come on, from midnight till 6 o'clock in the morning, it feels a lot longer than from midday to 6 o'clock in the evening. Who's experienced that? I had a bit of that last night. The enemy comes in the night because there's something about the dark that increases the fear factor. But we have the armor of light, the Bible tells us. You don't even have to turn the light on. You just have to speak and pierce the darkness with the word. According to Psalm 119, that word, its entrance brings light. You just begin to speak the word. Hallelujah. Some people, they wake up in the dark and they put the light on straight away. Well, if you want to put the light on, a light that's much more powerful than your wee 60-watt bulb beside your bed, then speak the word. That pierces the darkness and turns the light on and delivers you from the fear, the terror that comes by night. Amen. The second part of that verse, in verse 5 into verse 7, it says, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. It. What's it? Doesn't matter what it is. It can't come near you. I don't know where your it is. Whatever your it is, it can't come near you. Even if it's insecure, it. Come on. Inferior, it. Stupid, it. Necessity. Whatever it is, it can't come near you. Why? Because we're surrounded by a force field of faith. Do you understand that? We're in him and he's in us. We're in him where he is and he's in us where we are. We're hiding in the secret place of the Most High. It can't come near us, whatever it is. It doesn't matter what it is. Come on, some of you are going to go home tonight thinking of more its. Nets can't come near you. Everybody else is scratching and you're saying, what are these guys scratching about? Hallelujah. Because we are not moved by what we see. We move what we see by what we see. Let me ask you a question, like, what are you mobilizing with your words? What are you mobilizing with your words? Verse 8. Are you speaking out of insecurity? Your insecurity, or are you speaking out of God's insecurity? security. Which is the guarantee of his security, his place of safety, his place of provision in your life. Everything that's already been done, mind you. Not things you're waiting to happen, it's things that's already happened. You're not trusting in the Lord, you're in the Lord trusting. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 3, where we read, trust in the Lord with all your heart, that was written in the Old Covenant. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean or depend on your own understanding. And we'll get to this in a few minutes, but you need to understand, folks, you see, we're not trusting in the Lord anymore. We're in the Lord trusting now. So not only is it, not, we don't even have an understanding anymore that we should even think about looking to or leaning on or depending on. Why? Because something much greater than that's been made available to us. Paul said it this way, he said, we have the mind of Christ. God invites us to think his thoughts, because his thoughts always take us higher. Bring us into his ways. And his ways and his thoughts are always way higher than ours. Who knows, God's got a highway for his people. It's called the highway of holiness. We'll get that in a minute, maybe. Verse 8. Only with your eyes you shall look and see the reward of the wicked. Who are the wicked? Very simple. Anyone who's not in him trusting. Is in a place where the purpose of their life has been twisted. Has been perverted. Has been corrupted. They're not in the place that God designed them to live. So that they're designated as the wicked. Verse 9. Let's help the end of the 8. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge. Who knows, insecurity is a plague. Inferiority is a plague. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. What did Jesus say? Come on, Luke chapter 10, verse 19. We should know this by now. Behold, I give you the authority. See, he's saying, I'm in you. You and me. Because of that reality, I give you the authority. You have that authority because I'm in you and you're in me. Like he said to Gideon, I'll be with you, and you'll thump these guys just as if you're taking on just one man. And probably Gideon might not have even done very well against one man. He didn't sound as if he had much confidence in even his one-to-one skills. Come on. But he said, the Lord says, I am with you, because I am with you, because I am with you, then you will destroy the Midianites just as if you're fighting one man. Hallelujah. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt or harm you. Come on, we really need to get into this. We really need to get soaked in this. We need to allow the rain just to drench us with this truth. Hallelujah. We need to have the oozing out of every pore. Come on. Hallelujah. Verse 14. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver. This is a God speaking first person right now. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will be with him in trouble. Why? Just to sort of pat his back and say, don't worry. Everything will turn all right in the end. No, I'll be with him in trouble to make sure that trouble doesn't trouble him. Come on. I will deliver him and honor him with long life or length of days. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. The fullness of that salvation. Come on. Have a look at the basis of these blessings of protection and provision. Of God's insecurity. It says, because We love him. Who knows, faith only works one way. Faith is activated, energized, expressed, and put to work through love. That love that we respond with to his love. We love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first demonstrated his love for us by giving himself for us. Who knows, the old covenant was a covenant of law. But the new covenant is a covenant of love. And you can't mix the two up or you'll end up with a mixed message. You'll be double-minded. You'll start speaking out of both sides of your mouth. You'll end up back under insecurity and inferiority. You'll be unstable in all of your ways. And you'll fall down either on the right or the left of the person who's trusted in God's insecurity. And you'll be one of the people they see fall at their right, at their side or at their right hand. And they'll say, what happened to you? Why did you fall? Because you started to believe that you were under the law one minute and under love the next. You couldn't make up your mind. Do I deserve this? Did I bring this one myself? Doesn't matter where it came from. God said, I'll be with you in it to deliver you out of it. Come on. But that insecurity that thinks, oh man, it's just, I'm just no good, I'm useless. That's why this has happened. Come on. And I haven't got the faith of the next person, and because of that, this is why this has happened. Get out of that. It's a covenant of love, not a covenant of law. Are we catching this? See, people fall back into that stuff. You see, where there's love, there's no need for law. But why tell you something, where there's no love, you better have law. Come on. That person that hates you, sometimes you need the law to get between you and them. But where there's law, there's no need for law. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let's go there. Hallelujah. Nearly done, don't panic. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You doing okay, everybody? Taking your umbrellas down, your waterproofs off. Hallelujah. Verse 26, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, doesn't say any, just says not many, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are nothing to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him, say of him, you are in, say I am in, Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification, who became for us, mind you, wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Verse 30 says, of him, not of you, not of me, not of us, but of him we are in Christ Jesus. We are in. Say, I'm in. Say, I'm in. I'm in. Where are we in? We're in the secret place of the Most High. We're in the A-team. We're secure in the place of God's in security. Who knows that everyone who's in Christ Jesus has an equal opportunity, an equal privilege of receiving whatever the Bible promises. Everyone has that opportunity. Everyone has that privilege of receiving everything, whatever the Bible promises, whatever God has promised us in his word. And according to Scripture, the Scripture we just read, we already have wisdom. We already have righteousness. We already have sanctification. We already have redemption. So there's no room left in our lives for insecurity and inferiority. If you hear this tonight, I said there's no room left in our lives for insecurity or inferiority because we've already received wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. All that's left for us to do, according to that scripture we just read, is to glory in the Lord, to celebrate every day what he has done and testify everywhere we go of his glory. He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. People are saying, you're proud. Who do you think you are? You don't have to worry about that. You're in the Lord. You're only glorying because you're in the Lord. Hallelujah. What else are you going to do in the Lord but glory? Come on, you're going to moan and grumble and complain and bicker and fight and cuss and come on. Oh, you're going to glory in the Lord. Hallelujah. But He is the glory is. Because we are in Him and He is in us. Let's just go through these things quickly. We have number one, wisdom. The Greek word sophia means practical wisdom. Listen to what you have. Let's deal with insecurity and inferiority. This is what you have because you're in Him. That's talking about the foolish people, the base people, the people that were nothing. God has taken them and He's given them these things so they'll know that insecurity and inferiority no longer have any place in their lives. He's given us wisdom, practical wisdom, skill, insight into the true nature of things, the ability to rightly apply knowledge. Who knows, in Proverbs it says wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the most important thing. It says, therefore, get wisdom. Well, guess what? We've been given it. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Of Him. Come on. Say, of Him. I am in Christ Jesus, who became for me wisdom from God. I've got the wisdom, practical wisdom, skill, insight into the nature of things, the ability to rightly apply knowledge. Glory to God. Let God's insecurity guarantee deal a fatal blow to your insecurity and to your inferiority. A couple more things and we'll be done. Hallelujah. What else have we received? Number two. See, who knows, the Holy Spirit will communicate wisdom to us. And if we ever think we lack wisdom, it says in James, all we have to do is ask and He'll supply it to us. Number two. First thing is wisdom. Number two, righteousness. The Greek word there means the quality of being right. Hallelujah. You just think you're right all the time. Like I am. You know, some people think it's a kind of a mediocre answer when you say I'm all right. Except they're hearing something different from what you're saying. How you doing? I'm all right. And you think that's, well, maybe it's the way you say it. I don't know. Maybe you're saying it. Maybe they're hearing it the way you're saying it. But you need to be like, I'm all right. Everything about me is right. Because God said so. Hallelujah. The quality of being right is conformity to the will of God in all respects. It means right standing with God. It means the ability to stand in the presence of God without a sense of fear, of guilt, of shame, of condemnation, and wait for it, or inferiority. Come on. Come on, if you've been given the right to stand in the presence of God, we're talking about Almighty God, the Most High God, if we've been given the right to stand in His presence without a sense or a feeling of inferiority, why would you ever feel inferior to anybody else? Try and make sense of that. Come on. I was standing in McKinnon's one day, just over the road there, in the bakery there, one day, just in the morning, just standing there, and the Lord spoke to me, saying, remember who you are. I still have a bit straight. Glory to God. Come on. Righteousness. Number three. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on. Let that revelation of righteousness drive out all that bogus insecurity and inferiority. Begin to trust in the guarantee of God's insecurity. Hallelujah. Number three. Sanctification. Hagiadzo. The Greek word means set apart, consecrated, a state of holiness. Hey, he says you've already got this. We're not under a covenant of law anymore. We're under a covenant of love. That which we needed, He gave us. He gave it to us. We're not trying to get it. I'll touch on this in a moment. But a state of holiness, a manifestation of life produced by the indwelling Holy Spirit. You see, because He who lives in you is holy, you're holy. Does that make sense? That's going to make sense. Anything else is ridiculous. We need to let that shift all the feelings of insecurity and inferiority. All the feelings of not being worthy or not being good enough. The sad thing is that many people stumble at sanctification being already theirs. Because they believe you're going to try and be sanctified. Come on, they're trying to get sanctified. Sanctification, brother, is a process. Yeah, and it's complete in me. Bible says I'm complete in Him. In Him, as long as I'm in Him, as long as I'm trusting, The process is complete. We are complete in Him. Hallelujah. So it might be a process, but it's complete. Come on. Who knows processed food is bad for you? Glory to God. Number four. Number one, wisdom. Two, righteousness. Three, sanctification. Number four, lastly, redemption. The Greek word there means a release secured by the payment of a ransom. It's become for us redemption. It means deliverance. It means setting free. He's become our deliverance. You're already delivered. You were born again, delivered. You don't need to go another, through another 10 years of deliverance. You were born again, delivered. Any baby that was born that wasn't delivered has got big problems. Thank you, Lord. That was good. That was fresh. Come on. It's like, I'm still up here. Hello, 15 years later. No wonder my mother's so fat. Come on. Well, I never got delivered from the waddle. The waddle just became more pronounced. He's only been 15 years now. We're just waiting for him to get delivered. Get out of here. I was at the County Stones one day with a bus. This guy offered me a cigarette. I says, no thanks, I've been delivered. He looked at me with big saucer eyes. He said, you mean you've had your liver taken out? Amen. Hallelujah. He needed some wisdom. Hallelujah. A release secured by the payment of a ransom, deliverance, setting free. It's a word that describes a conqueror releasing prisoners or a master ransoming a slave. It means redemption. Listen to this. It means redemption from an alien yoke. So we weren't created, as I said before, to live a life plagued by insecurity and inferiority. That's an alien yoke. That's why Jesus invited us to take His yoke upon us. That's why in Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 10, verse 27, it says that the anointing destroys the yoke. What yoke? The alien yoke. Jesus came to remove that alien yoke. We weren't created to live a life plagued by insecurity and inferiority. We've been delivered from that curse. You need to believe you've been delivered. I have been. I don't need to go through another 10 years of counseling or special prayer or anything else if I know that I'm in Him. I want to tell you, all the devils go up here as a quick fix. Even in the church, all he has for you is a quick fix. And the quick fix never works. It's a temporary fix. You know what happens? You become fixated on it. You become hooked on it. Come on. All it takes is one main line in the heroin and you're hooked. Sometimes it's the same way in the church. We get hooked on the quick fixes. Well, because it lasts. You get a high for a wee while. Somebody help me. You get a high. You're on a high for 2 days. You're tripping for 2 days and then boom, you crash. And the next time you go for special prayer, you need to stay there twice as long to get you back to the place. And you know this, anybody who's ever been addicted to anything will tell you that you never get a hit like the first hit. And that's what keeps people coming back and coming back and coming back, is you never get a hit quite like the first hit. And until you get totally, you realize that you're delivered, that you're free, and you don't need that junk anymore, you will keep coming back, and you'll never get what you got the first time. And so you'll keep coming back, and you'll want more and more, because they increase the amount, 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 and they never get to the place of what they experienced with the first hit. And I want to tell you, it's exactly the same in the church. When we don't stand up on the inside and recognize that of Him, we are in Christ Jesus, who became for us, who became, that's past tense, for us, wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption from the alien yoke. The devil loves it when you think you need to get set free from him. He thinks, you nutter. That is the stupidity, by the way. Come on. He'll be quite happy to believe that he's got you, that you believe he's got you. And he'll apply as much pressure as you let him. Come on. We weren't created to live a life plagued by insecurity and inferiority. That's an alien yoke. We've been delivered from that curse. Many people in the church are waiting today for what they call a sovereign move of God They have to say it in a certain tone of voice, you know, the sovereign move of God. But the truth is that that sovereign move of God's already taken place. I believe in the sovereign move of God. That's already happened. The cross was a sovereign move of God. Jesus coming to this earth was a sovereign move of God. We did nothing to do with that. We had absolutely nothing to do. We would never have thought of it. Even the devil didn't have it figured out. The Bible says if he had done, he'd never have put Jesus on the cross. If he'd known what was the stiffening he was about to get. Something he's never recovered from. You need to understand that he's never recovered from that. He was put to an open shame. He was made a public spectacle at the cross. People waiting for the sovereign move of God has already taken place when Jesus moved from heaven to earth and died to heaven via the cross. But not before he picked us up and took us with him. So that we could enter and dwell in the secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let me ask you a question tonight as we close. Will you trade? I'm betting before you tonight, I struggled with this for years. I think I'm getting better at it. I think I'm starting to believe that. In fact, I've got there. I believe I'm there. That message's got no place in my life. Because I'll maybe share a little bit of that tomorrow. See how it goes. But will you trade your insecurity and inferiority? Because it's your insecurity and it's your inferiority that has limited your kingdom potential. You need to understand this. You need to understand that insecurity is what removed Saul from the throne of Israel. Come on. You go back and study that man's life, it's a disaster. He started out in a place of inferiority, and God said, you know, when you started there, you know, things could only improve, but now he said, you're out of control. And it was all about insecurity, it was all about fear. See, he felt inferior to David, although there was no need for that. All David did was ever did was honor the man, give him his place. David wasn't after his throne. But there came a time when God said, I'm giving you his throne. Insecurity. You need to understand that insecurity removed Saul from his destiny. Removed him from his kingdom potential. What a tragedy. Well, you trade your insecurity and inferiority. That's how dangerous, that's how devastating it can be. Will you trade your insecurity, your inferiority that has limited your kingdom potential? Will you trade it tonight for God's insecurity? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Us in him and him in us. Hallelujah. Let's stand up. Let's have the worship team back, the praise team back. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Do you believe that's a key of the kingdom here tonight? Lord God, do you believe that God's blessed us with a key tonight to help us to understand, to unlock the prison houses that we've no right being in? Come on. Hallelujah. We've no right to live in that place. That's not our address. Glory to God. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is truth. I thank you that truth, when we accept it into our lives and we come into the experience of that truth and we welcome the experience that that truth brings in our lives, always results in a place of freedom. Experiencing and a place of freedom that has always belonged to us, because it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Lord, we do nothing more tonight but glory in you. Walk out of this place tonight with a testimony to your goodness and faithfulness that never ends. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God.